You are listening to the Business RPG Podcast, a business podcast for nerds who are determined to turn their passion into a profession. I'm your host, Sir Isaac, and this is my open invitation to anyone who would like to connect. Go ahead, find me on Instagram at BusinessRPG, and let's start a conversation about whatever it is that you are nerdy about and whatever it is you are aspiring to as a professional nerd, or fellow professional nerd, I should say. Guys, what is it that your customers or audience walk away with as an end result of your product or service? Can you verbalize it? Can you verbalize it in a couple sentences or less? Today, we are going to be hearing from Joe Pons, a return guest and lead generation expert. Joe is a master at helping businesses find leads for potential customers, recapturing lost revenue, and in helping them come across as clear and clean in their communication with others as business professionals. And Joe is also a master of the value proposition. And that's actually what I wanted him to come on and talk about today. The value proposition, you've heard me talk about this a couple of times or mention it in past episodes, just being able to verbalize clearly what it is that people walk away with as a result of engaging with you on a business level. We're not talking about elevator pitches. We're talking about something much more profound, concise, and I think much more impactful as well. Joe has been doing this for a long time. He, as a nerd, but also a very, very successful businessman, every time he takes the time to just talk about some things, I'm super excited to engage with him and to have him come back on the show and talk about this. He's been doing this for a long time. He knows how to talk about it, how to present it, and how to talk to us here in this space. And so I was delighted to have him come on and talk about this with us again. So guys, before this episode starts, be sure that you do me a favor. Make sure that you are subscribed to the show. If you are wanting to do something that will show your support for the Business RPG, subscribe, leave a review on whatever platform you are listening to, and share this with a friend, just someone that you think could benefit from this episode. Pass it around, and let's get the word out. Guys, without further ado, let's go to the interview. Joe Pons, welcome back to the Business RPG.
Thank you, sir. It is indeed my pleasure, my honor to do so. I appreciate the invitation to come back.
Well, I appreciate you making the time because I know you are an expert and I am not. And it is very handy to have experts when you are not one yourself. So I'm glad you're able to come on. And just remind the audience who it is you are and what it is you do.
Wow. How much time do we have? simply put, I am a lead generation expert. So what I do for people, specifically entrepreneurs, business owners, people who have a product or service that they're selling. And selling is not a bad word, by the way. What I do is I help them generate better quality leads, get in front of their right target market. So that way, when they have an appointment, it's a better quality appointment so they can close more business. The other side of the house, the other business is I just help people save money on their prescription medications to the tune of 60 to 90%. So between those two tasks, I stay a little busy.
You stay pretty busy, yeah. Well, let me ask you this question. What is your light level right now in Destiny?
I think I hit 558. I mean, 15. 1558.
Yeah, you're way past me. Okay.
That's okay, though. That's okay. We'll make some time.
We'll make some time. We still haven't done that since last time we talked, right. But... Joe, one of the things I really wanted to have you on and talk about is this concept of value propositions. This is something that I've mentioned to my audience before in the intro to this episode. They'll have heard me talk about kind of roughly what it is, but also the importance of it. But that's something that I personally don't feel qualified to talk about. I know how to kind of put them together. They keep changing as the business keeps changing and as the clients keep changing and as the products keep changing. And I'm learning, but I'm still green. And I really, really wanted to give some wisdom to the audience as far as what they are, the importance that they have in a business. And this is part of what you do for a living. This is something that you help your clients put together so that they can be more effective in their business. Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, you're absolutely right.
So I was really excited when you agreed to come on and just talk about this for a little while with my people and convince them to give it a shot. Go ahead and just, when you're talking to someone about a value proposition, what is it that you tell them that it is?
Simply put, it's not about you. Answer the question that most people ask whenever you begin a conversation. Who are you and what can you do for me? It's about the results that you give, not so much about the products or services that you sell. As long as you keep that in mind, the value proposition becomes so much easier, and I can't stress its importance. We're going to talk a little bit more about that, but when you go to a networking group, even if online or in person, you have people where if you ask them what they do, you get 30 minutes of them talking. Some convey the idea of what they do. Some do not. The value proposition is specifically designed to tell people what you can do for them in the shortest amount of words possible. That's the value proposition. And hence the name. The value is not my value. It's the value that I can give, I propose to give to you. Keeping that in mind, that right there is the seat of it.
When I talk to some people about something similar to this, they use the term elevator pitch. I've learned that it's still different from even an elevator pitch, because in there it feels like it's a captured conversation where they have no choice but to hear you for a little while. But elevators, I mean, especially with the world going remote, elevators aren't really a factor for a lot of businesses. How is it unique? How is this aspect of your pitch unique?
The uniqueness comes to whom you're speaking to. And there's a process involved. Most of the time, given the opportunity to speak, most people wait. My suggestion is that you jump, you take the initiative. You ask them what they do, what their services, what their products are. So that way you can tailor your value proposition specifically to them. Now, if you don't, that's fine, because you should have in mind your target market. In a generic value proposition, one where you are seeking out clients to best solve their problems, you can just give that, allow them to respond, and then tweak your value proposition to see if you can solve that particular problem. Because the elevator pitch has always been taught that you have a minute, 2 minutes, however long it takes to get from the top floor to the bottom floor to tell people what you do. And usually there isn't much structure given as far as the elevator pitch. It's just sort of leave it out there, you know, tell them who you are, what you do, what products you provide. And usually that's pretty boring. You know, because if you come to me with a product that I don't need, you know, my attention span may diminish significantly between the 10th floor and the second floor. So it's just, I can't wait for this door to get open. Thanks. Appreciate it. Bye.
Right.
You know, and people rely on this elevator pitch to communicate, some are very good, but they're not quite the value proposition. And that's where it's very distinct in its composition. And that's where, for those of us who are a bit introverted, it causes us to move forward just a little bit quicker. Now, if I say, what do you do, to some people, you know, it would have to be 100 floors before I would get a chance to segue into what I do. But I think it's extremely important, like you said, you've got three or four in your pocket, keep you on your toes. My generic thing, the thing that I give to most people, and I explain it, is that, you know, I deal with salespeople and entrepreneurs, business owners. And what do I do for you? Well, I help you generate better quality leads, get in front of your target market, book better appointments, close more business. And that's a generic statement. That's good to get the conversation going. If they need me, great. Now we can move on. If not, that's okay too, because now I don't have to worry about wasting their time, and they're certainly not wasting mine. For you, you deal with brand exposure mm-hmm. on a level that most marketing firms, those who deal with such things, can't really possibly imagine. So for you, when you say brand expansion or brand exposure or getting more people to see your brand, well, that wakes up a lot of people. You know, and that value proposition just by itself, even though you do other things, it's a good conversation starter. You know, because if a person doesn't want to expand their brand, then they probably don't need to sit down with you.
Right. And they can, I think the term is they could disqualify themselves from needing my service.
Yes.
And I can get up and go to the next.
That's a perfect way to put it.
So we've talked about the importance of a value proposition and a bit about what it is at its root, but could you give an example? I'm more than happy to share a couple of mine if you need them, but could you just give an example of what we're talking about? Because we've said what it is, it's important, that's great, but what is a tangible example?
Okay. Well, what I'll do, you've heard mine.
Mm-hmm.
I describe who I'm helping. So that way, like you said, it's a qualifier. Either you fall into that group or you don't. The next thing is what I can do for that particular group of people, that target market. For example, let's say you're a gym owner or you work in, a gym owner is fantastic. Well, you can say I'm a gym owner. And for those who are a little bit more savvy, there's a lot of different kinds of gyms out there. So to say that is as ambiguous as it gets. If you go into not just gym ownership, but what do you do for people? Now, I help people lose weight, I help people get into better shape, I help people do these things. The catch is what are you going to do for me as the person approaching you? So if I were a gym owner, if I was speaking to one of the young ladies, I would say, you know what I do is I help people on a day-to-day basis fit into their skinny jeans.
Okay.
Result.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if they say, well, gosh, Joe, how do you do that? Now we've started the conversation.
Right.
You know, they've qualified themselves as saying, you know what, you can possibly help me. Let's get into the weeds. Let's get into the details. And that's when I set up a meeting or we continue the conversation. You know, would it be worth a few minutes of your time for me to explain exactly how I can help you fit into your skinny jeans? Okay, fine. And then we get into what I call the core story, the sales presentation. Now, it doesn't feel salesy because what I do is an interview. So many times when you're in business or you're in sales, you're so busy trying to sell something. You've got an agenda. This is what I got. You're going to buy one of these 10 things. Turned around. This is a person who's qualifying for your time and your efforts. As we like to say, we don't sell. We find buyers. Allow them to qualify themselves. And if they want to get into their skinny jeans, if they want more stamina, if they want to look better in that business suit, well, guess what? Now they've qualified themselves. For an owner of a pool business, those who build pools, even if you clean pools, you know, what we do is we make your time by yourself with your family a better experience. You know, we create a healthy environment for you to have fun. Well, gosh, Isaac, how do you do that? If it's worth a few minutes, let me explain exactly how we do that. Always look to the end result. And that's why it's so important for people to know who their target market is. I mean, trust me, I get it. When we first start out, I mean, we're just looking for somebody with a pulse who will sit down with us.
Yeah.
But as time goes on and we get a little older, we don't need as much practice sitting down talking to people. What we need are qualified buyers. And that's when you say, okay, well, you know what? The people that I work well with, and that's one of the things that I teach my clients, there's a whole system behind constructing this entire value proposition. And a lot of it tends to lean toward the proper target market. You know, I mean, do you really want to talk to someone without any money? Mm-mm. As I was taught, all of God's children is not a target market.
Right.
No, I mean, I started out with my medicine business and people would send me people without any money. Now, as much as I love to serve and help people, in the end, you have to purchase the product.
Right.
So when you say everyone, do you really mean everyone? Or my target market is, you know, is the homeowner with a pool. Okay. Well, that narrows it down quite a bit. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not talking about renters with a pool. We're not talking about just homeowners. We're talking about homeowners with a pool, you know, or homeowners with an in-ground caged pool. Okay. So now we've narrowed it down even further. The target market really is the core of the value proposition. That and the value. What do people want? And once we get that in our heads, then whoever we approach, we can tweak our value proposition to fit them. Now, this is not a manipulation.
Right, right.
Right. We're not trying to sell them into something or give them the idea that we can help them when we cannot. This is simply a qualifier. This is not right, running around trying to sell your product to every individual saying, well, this guy's a pool owner. Let me see how I can make it fit.
Right. Well, one of the things that I've realized with the value proposition is I even use them in episode descriptions when I'm writing the, I'm not a copywriter, but I do write the copy for the show notes and then for whatever my script is going to be whenever I'm doing an intro. And I've realized I'm communicating value a lot better whenever I'm using a VP.
Yes.
And it's because when I first discovered this and I first started trying to practice this, it took me a while to actually start doing it, implement it, and then realize how it worked. But what I realized was I was communicating value even when I wasn't exactly selling for money. I was just selling for someone's time. Come listen to the episode. But I noticed a difference in what was being conveyed there. Is there any other situation you can think of outside of just a sales pitch or an elevator pitch when this is something that could be implemented?
Well, I think you hit it right on the head. Is that any time we communicate, and that's either digitally, that's written, when we speak, it is the value proposition. I would argue that most episodes within our life, as we move from person to person or group to group, what we're doing is we are looking to serve. So what we do is we communicate that through a LinkedIn post, right? The headline. People say, well, that's a hook. To a degree, yes, because the person who I am seeking out, I want to show them that there's value in this, whether it be come and listen to my podcast, come to this event, come into a free lunch and learn, because what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the 10 best ways to generate leads. All these things, once you begin to think and get your value proposition right, it's like you said, when you begin to write, you begin to think in these things.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and that's so important. When you go to the store and you deal with a salesperson, you begin to see that the old trite sales pitch doesn't quite work. You understand that it's so generic and it's so product driven that unless I came for that specific thing, they're really not answering my need. But you could turn it around on them. You know, I appreciate what you're doing. How about this? How about I tell you what I need And then you can be the fantastic salesperson. You can give me the idea of what it is that fits what I need. Same, I do it with car salesmen. I mean, I love them, but you know, buying a car is sometimes a very time consuming mm-hmm. trial. And I'll use that word. Mm-hmm. I know what I want. I'm a buyer. My behavioral style deals with details. So I've already done my research. I know what I want, down to the color, model, wheel size. I mean, I know it all. So I always start out with, let me give you what I'm looking for. You know, can you, as a salesperson, provide me with the specific car that I need in the shortest amount of time? Because if so, you will have a car purchase within the next 60 minutes. If not, well, I appreciate your time, sir or madam, and I will find someone who will. Because there's always someone who will. Now, sometimes you're met with a certain level of skepticism, but when 30 minutes is, you know, the halfway point's there, I'm like, look, we need to get this paperwork done. You're running out of time. You know, this car, this model, this number that you have on your lot is coming home with me today within the next 30 minutes or not. And that's usually when I get a client or two, because they begin to understand the specifics. You know, when they say the devil's in the details, well, you know, it's good to be generic to a certain extent, but being very specific is what answers people's needs. And that's why when people say, oh, I've got a great elevator pitch, I sort of cringe. They tend to be far too generic, and it's more about what you do or who you are as opposed to what you can do for me. Now, you give me an industry or a person that you have dealt with, and I will go ahead and create, excuse me, as best I can, a value proposition. That way your listeners can understand more the dynamic that comes with a value proposition as opposed to the ironclad law of construction in the value proposition world.
I actually got two that I think would be really interesting to see this done with. A lot of my audience, as far as social media, are in the Pokemon card niche. And I mean, in there, you're dealing with collectors, you're dealing with people who play the game, you're dealing with people who are obsessed with art. There's all sorts of niches of people that I'm engaged with as far as Instagram goes. But let's say it was a Pokemon card selling business.
Okay.
They dealt with both sealed product and they've dealt with open product that was highly valuable.
Okay. My first thought, excuse me. My first thought is what I call a revenue producing activity. What is the number one money maker for you, for the individual who's selling those cards? If it's closed product, then focus on that. Okay. Because the person who you're dealing with, who is saying a collector, a true collector, who says, you know, I want the platinum foil, this card of this year. Well, they're going to ask you that. But if you make more money because you're the vendor, you know, I'm the person who can give you the best quality product, the genuine quality product, because I just learned from my nephew this year that there's a lot of what we old cats used to call bootlegging. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And for me, when I grew up, it was comic books. So there's not a lot of counterfeiting involved with comic books, but cards, he's showing me packs, brand new open packs. And he's going, okay, look at this one and look at this one. This is the real one and this one isn't. And I'm going, but that's a sealed package. All right. I'm old school with myself. It's a sealed package. Well, if you tell me that you're going to sell me a box of cards, I'm going to invest my money in a box of the latest edition, or better yet, not just the latest edition, but the celebration edition, you know, box set. I want to know that they're genuine. I mean, for me, that's my seat. So as a person who's dealing, who's vending, what I do is I provide the best quality, genuine Pokemon cards for the most reasonable price. All right. Well, you know what, Isaac, let's talk. That sounds good to me. Now, if the flip side is, you know what, I've got the widest range, widest variety of cards for those who are looking for individual card purchases. You know, if you need authenticity, we can check it, but I don't sell just any cards. I'm looking for the buyer who wants true quality cards. I'm not talking about someone who doesn't come in and wants to haggle, kick the tires, sort of thing. This is a person, I'm looking for someone who knows what they're looking for. I provide the best cards for you. Again, it's what they want, not what I want. Because for me, I'm looking to sell cards. Well, you know what? For a person who plays the game, they may not be looking for mint quality cards. You know, they're looking for a complete set. You know, so what I'm doing is I'm making your Pokemon time with your friends, your family, the best quality time there is, because I'm going to provide you every single card in that set, because that's what you want.
Or complete the set that you need to play more effectively.
There it is.
Something like that.
Something like that. Exactly. And when you say that, it's going, you know what? Yeah. You know, because I'm missing three cards out of a set. Now, I don't want to spend a mint on them because I use these cards. I have my hands on these cards. So can you help me? Why, as a matter of fact, we can. If it's worth a few minutes of your time, let's sit down and figure out how I can help you complete that set. You know, and then the upsell is, it's like, okay, well, I see that you're playing with this set, and it's a great set. But me and my friends, we play with this set. Is there anything that you would see as value in getting into this other set? It may not be, but if there is, now you're moving again into your most highly productive revenue producing activity.
What about something that was a little less revenue heavy in the beginning, but that was very community heavy in the beginning? For example, video game streamers. Their bread and butter in the beginning isn't how many people are sending them money. It's how many people are actually following and giving them engagement.
Yes.
So is there a way, let's say, to turn this on its head where it is you're trying to use a value proposition to build your relationship base or your network or your tribe, however you want to put it in? I mean, there's so many different gamer communities out there. I could go on and on as far as the terms they use, but is there a way to leverage this in a networking situation?
Yes. There really is no end to where you can use the pop value proposition. I mean, right, you can use right. it even as far as dating is concerned. not that you would need so, but maybe some of your listeners are going, hey, you know, this guy, Joe, man, I don't know. Look, it's what they want. I mean, granted, we all have our own desires and things like that, you know, but let's go with the community base. So, you know, I've followed guys and girls who jumped on and all of a sudden they appear up on YouTube. They fall into that category. You're going, okay, well, let's take a look. And they've got three subscribers. Mm-hmm. The content of what they create is worth for me the time to check out. Right. So a value proposition for them would be, you know, there's a lot of great, fantastic video streamers in Destiny or Apex, whatever. You know, but what we're bringing here, and you'll notice that they are copying what the big boys do. So I've, you know, watch me on Twitch, you know, join me on Twitch, get involved with our Discord community. Now, there may be five people in the Discord community, but it's a community. You know, and what I do for you is I bring you great gameplay, the best information on how to better your game, whether it's PvP or PvE, player versus player or player versus enemy. Looking for that specific group, because you have those who that's all they do is PvP. Take, for example, Destiny. All right. There tend to be two almost competing groups. You know, nary the two intertwine. You've got the player versus player group, and they have very specific goals and needs.
Yes.
The other side of the house is the PvE side, and they couldn't care less about what's going on in the PvP world.
Right.
It's the greats who started with one, and they're going, here we are. This is what I can help you do. I can help you, you know, increase your KDA, help you to stop getting killed more often, give you the hints, tricks, builds that will help you play better. Okay, well, you know what? That sounds pretty good to me. I'm going to check out this video. I'm going to go ahead and hit the subscribe button, and we're going to see what follows. As opposed to, hey guys, I'm new. Please watch me, and I would appreciate a like, comment, and subscribe. Yeah, we've heard that all before, and we know what to do. Yeah, that's about them. That's about their goal. But what are you going to do for me? I've only got so many hours of the day, and I've sliced off this much to watch YouTube videos on my game. You want to make the cut? You're going to have to tell me what you're bringing. You know, not just the clickbait that ends up on the YouTube where it's like, you know, infinite this or fastest way or, you know, bring your KDA up to 7 or you know, whatever that is. Okay. Yeah, I get it. But when I click it, you need to show and prove. Why? Because it's about me. If you give me what I need, I'll be a loyal supporter. You know, I was just talking about this the other day where a young man, I remember when he first got started, you could tell he was nervous. You know, he spoke very quickly and, you know, you get the, I'm not going to say trolls, but, you know, people were kind of harsh on him.
Right.
You know, and it's one of those where it's like, you know, I don't leave a lot of comments, but I was very specific in the criticism. I'm a Toastmaster, so there's a way to say things in a proper manner.
Okay.
And it turned into a value proposition. You know, for those of us who are a little older, if you speak just a little slower, it would bring more value and allow me to listen longer.
Okay.
Right? And right. Over time, and now we're talking, I don't know, 3 years, he's got very precise. He's slowed down. If you watch his one of his first videos and watch one of his ones today, the difference is noticeable. He's grown. He's improved. And he focuses on my group, you know, the PvE crowd. Now, he will make mention because there are some people who go back and forth. It's okay. You're like, okay, but for this, for you guys who do this, guess what? This works too. Oh, okay. All right. Well, you know what? I'm going to tell my nephew to check this guy out because he's brilliant at both sides of the house. So for a content creator, it really is about who they're looking to really serve. You know, everybody looks at the you know, the greats, if you will. You know, they're the ones who have, you know, hundreds of thousands of subscribers and, you know, they're on Twitch and, you know, it's like, oh, thanks for the $5. Thanks for the $5. Thanks for the $10. Thank you. Know, and it goes on and on and on. To get to that point, find a group. Find who you really work with. Ideally, someone that you're a part of. You know, it would be difficult for me to approach anyone in Pokemon as any kind of vendor or servant. I it's just not my world.
Right.
I mean, I got involved because my nephew said, go to McDonald's and buy these cards. Yeah. And it's not until you actually get the experience. Well, we can only sell you 10 packs at a time. And I'm going, but there's a box right there. I'll buy it. And they go into what it is that these cards represent. And I'm going, well, I didn't know that. you know, go on eBay and you look, and a box, the same box that I'm looking at, you know, costs $150. Wow. And I'm going, I didn't know Pokemon was like that. I thought it was just some cartoon. You know?
Right.
Getting into it, and that's where being part of that community that you're looking to grow is supremely important. You know, so many content creators say, okay, well, this is the hot game of the moment, so I'm going to jump in there because I got a copy of it, you know, on Steam, and I'm going to go ahead and do this. Well, you're not really convincing anyone. And yes, maybe you'll get better and maybe you'll find some people. But let's face it, we've seen those people on YouTube or Twitch or Discord before, and they're just not very convincing. You know, so my suggestion to your listeners is simply this. It does take time to grow a community, to grow that tribe. So take the time. You know, and I know you hear it all the time, Isaac, I want this to go viral.
Right. How do I increase my subs? How do I become the next Joe Rogan right. in this topic that's only relevant to a very small crowd?
Exactly. You know, and go back a few years. You know, Joe Rogan appealed to a very small part of the population. As time grew, he diversified. Not a lot, but a little bit. But if you look at Joe Rogan then and you look at Joe Rogan now, he is still essentially the same person. You know, he did not change for his audience. He grew, he matured for his audience. But I think that's part of what makes Joe Rogan and others like him very special.
Let me be vulnerable with you for just a second when it comes to the show. Mm-hmm. I recently really got tangled up in this and decided I was going to change a number of things about the show, including the intro. In the intro, I have this opening that I changed to The Business RPG, a business podcast for nerds who are determined to turn their passion into a profession. Now, I haven't had that professionally assessed yet. So, Joe Pons, if you'd be so bold, what feedback could you give me on something like that? Break that down and make me cry, but let me know what's right there and what's wrong there. And I'll pay you after.
I'll tell you, I like it already. I think it fits right into the perfect market. I think you chose your words very specifically. Not only that, the name is specific, okay? Because, see, people who don't understand RPG, they think it's rocket-propelled grenade, right? Yes. They're like, well, I don't know that I want to listen to this guy. I don't think he's, you know, in my target group. But if you say business RPG, some of us go, wait a minute, hold on. Well, okay, let me listen to what this guy's got to say. And then you jump in and, you know, there's all different kinds of intellectual terms for nerd, but very few of us will accept that title proudly. And it's like, okay, well, that sounds a whole lot like me. Take it a step further. I grew up in the nerd set. Now, I was not only in the nerd set, but I was in the jock set. I was in the ROTC group. I fit into a lot of different, you know, my puzzle piece fit into a lot of different places. But right. You're talking about nerds. Most of us went on to bigger and better things outside of our passion. You know, yeah. I mean, when I started collecting comic books, I mean, X-Men was still in the 100s. You know, I mean, we're going back to days when the things that we really loved to do were just that, things that we loved to do. And then, you know, one of my best friends, you know, became a software engineer. Yeah, we always, yeah, we were the kids who, you know, had the Commodore 64s and, you know, we, you know, used to type in the machine code to, you know, get a game to work. Yeah, but did we actually make that our passion? Did we actually go out and create companies that did that? No.
No.
No, we went and did what nerds do. We got high-paying jobs doing very specific things. And then, you know, people go, well, what you doing? Well, you know, I'm going to go out and see my friend out in San Diego because we're going to Comic-Con. Yeah, and they're going, aren't you a little old for that? It's like, well, you know, my buddies, you know, their attendance has been so frequent over the years that, I mean, they're basically VIPs.
Really?
You know, they've seen the Comic-Cons grow. You know, when it used to be, you know, held in a hotel conference center, you know, with three or four dozen vendors, to where, you know, they have to get convention centers. I mean, almost to the point where they got to rent out a stadium in order to put people in. I mean, you know, you got the big ones. You got the, you know, in Indianapolis and in San Diego, and then you've got the spinoffs. Not, you know, people, we say Comic-Con, but that's a broader thing. You know, because you have ones that are based on, and I'm gonna show my age and my group, Firefly.
Okay.
So yeah. If you say, well, I'm gonna have Nathan Fillion show up. Okay, you know, I don't care where it is. I don't care if I got to fly, take a boat, ride a bicycle. You know, you've got Jewel State showing up. Wait, okay, what? Drop everything. It's time to go.
Mm-hmm.
That passion and that statement holds a lot of weight. And I think it's very good. You know, it is a value proposition. You know, it weeds out those of us nerds who don't necessarily want to create a business out of our passion. And that's fine. That's perfect. But you know what? The people that you get listening to Business RPG, those are people that you can serve the best.
And that's part of what 2022 is going to be, because I'm pivoting in a lot of ways, but a lot of it, like you said at the very beginning, I'm trying to take it all back to value. And that's the point of the show. But also that's where I guess if I really want this to grow, because I'm more in that community base as far as how to leverage the show. If I want it to be successful, I got to bring in more of the community, build the community, which just kind of goes back to, okay, I need to make sure that what they hear, the first thing that they hear, is what they know that they're going to get if they continue this conversation with me.
Yes.
So that they can decide if they want to stay or not.
Perfect.
I appreciate you, Joe. Joe, you have businesses, you have things that you're doing where you're really, really busy. What are some things that you've accomplished in this realm of value proposition specifically, mm-hmm. that have yielded you results that you're really proud of? And what are some goals that you have for the next year?
Wow. Heavy question.
Heavy question.
Okay. Successes. Successes have been, much like you, once I learned how to not just speak in value propositions, but think in value propositions. You know, the thinking is what creates the speech. The ability to say, what do you do? And then to quickly on my feet think of a way that what I have just might solve a problem that you have. For example, you know, we're talking about the entertainment industry and being able to talk to a former college football player who wants to get into, say, speaking to other students. Well, yes, I get it. And what I can do is I can help you create a message, short, sweet, and to the point, so that people who do not know you can understand what you can deliver for them. Mm. Because I don't watch sports anymore. I haven't watched sports in many years. So if you tell me, I just found out who Tim Tebow is, you know, and I'm in Florida. You know, I mean, I said, who was that? And a group that I was with, I mean, about 8-10 people turned and looked and said, where have you been? Didn't your nephew just graduate from the University of Florida? Well, yeah, but I don't, you know, well, I don't know this guy. Outside of a particular circle, as powerful and as famous as a name is, people may not know who you are. Getting that point across and then being able to say, okay, well, what you need to do, you just need to call directors in colleges over the sports program and explain to them not who you are, because that may not be important to them, but the value of talking to their athletes and saying, you know what I can do for them is I can give them an edge on life, you know, not just within the sports arena, because some sports don't have a professional equivalent. But you know what? You want your athletes to go on to bigger and better things. For me, that's a success. And that's the value of the value proposition. My goals this year, and we talked about a little bit about that earlier, is to grow the businesses by not being so control oriented. Over the years, my creative side has kind of dwindled because I've been working very hard in the most concrete, non-abstract thing. Well, I do have a creative side, and if I can get time to put that into my business, I can grow. But in order to do that, I have to take off one of the 50 hats that I'm wearing and let someone else wear it, put the right person right in the seat. So by the end of this year, maybe not physically hire that person, but have that position outlined and ready to go. So that way, when it's time, I have the interview, boom, we're done. And I got the right person in that seat. Other than that, you know, I've got some other goals. I mean, I want to create more personal time. I love to read. I love to game. You know, these are things that I love to do. Sadly, I don't have as much time to do these things as I want. You know, people say, well, is it about the money? No, it really isn't about the money. And your listeners understand this. The money is the means by which we can do the things we want to do.
Right.
See, if we make six figures a year, then guess what? Friday nights down at the D&D Palace, it's on. I can do that. I don't have to worry about what's going on or, man, I got to work an extra shift. These are the things that we can take advantage of because we're being successful in the financial arena. The ability to say, you know what, at 5:30, 6 o'clock, for those of us who talk to people on the West Coast, we're done at 8, but we're done at 8. Call the crew, tell them we're going to do a raid. It's on at 9:30.
Right.
Yeah, and we can go ahead and get it done. But that for me is success. So my goal by the end is to create the physical environment around me, getting rid of old furniture, making it a little bit more stoic, but more comfortable. That way I can have my friends over. So that way we can set up a network within the house and enjoy each other's company playing together in the same room. If not, that's fine too. We're still going to get online and we're still going to enjoy each other's company. But now my environment is more conducive to my higher level thinking. For me, that is truly the end result. You know, if I can work more efficiently, more effectively help people solve their problems, then guess what? I get to enjoy some of the things that I love just a little bit more.
I appreciate that point because that's very easy to forget, is that it's a means to an end. Business is about money, but money is about the things that you're wanting to do in life. I can appreciate that goal. I do very much.
Yeah. I mean, let's face it. People say, aren't you a little old for that? Okay. You tell me a grade school kid who can afford a number one Incredible Hulk. Okay.
None that I know.
You tell me one that can go, and when the next set of Pokemon cards comes out, you can go and buy 5 or 6 or 7 boxes and not think twice about it, not have right to put a second mortgage on the house in order to get it done.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I used to collect. My collection had the most people never heard of these artists, never heard of these titles. But it costs money to do so. And if I'm going to buy one, I might as well buy the entire set. And if I really like it, I need to buy two. One to read and one to keep in mint condition.
Uh-huh.
Now, you tell me a high school student who can go back and get Volume 1, Moon Knight, all the issues, all the way through. Not one copy, but two.
None that I know.
Right. Yeah. And that's the thing. Like you say, it's a means to an end. And people don't understand that. It's sad to see people who have a very specific financial goal, but beyond that, there's nothing else. See, I can give a very specific number for what I want because I know what it is that I want to do with that money. It means a certain level of independence that I can't enjoy if I'm working at McDonald's. And that's not to say that it's a bad thing because there are managers at McDonald's who make more money than I do. That being said, if you hold yourself back and you've got a passion where you can serve people, but you're not creating that business, the one that is lucrative enough to where, you know what, you don't mind waking up in the morning because the first thing on your mind isn't money. I mean, think about it. Think about the ability, and I understand the passion for these, the creators of content, mm-hmm. when they move from it's a part-time hobby to where it's a full-time thing. They got sponsors, they got subscribers, and it's like, you know what? That is not just the American dream. That's the dream.
That's the dream.
You know, where your job this morning is to get up and get online and play your favorite game for 8 hours
mm-hmm.
with friends. And then you take a little break. And if you feel like it, you get back on later and you make a video and you post it online. And guess what? You're getting paid to do so.
And that, adding that to the passion being the profession, kind of back to the business RPG, that thing that you enjoy doing being what it is that you get to live off of. It's there's no feeling like it. I'm blessed that, fortunately, what I love to do is just podcast production in general. So I'm weird that way. There are very, very many people who want to not do that. Fortunately, I'm finding people who both don't want to and can pay someone else to. You know, that's the catch. But yeah, I'm with you on that. Well, I appreciate you doing that, and I appreciate your time and everything that you've done on here. You know how to talk to my audience. I really appreciate you being able to break this down and actually take these niches seriously. Because that's the theory that I have, is that a lot of entrepreneur business types don't quite see the nerd niche as an industry worth taking advantage of. So that's another thing we'll change with the business RPG. But go ahead and tell the audience where they can find you if they want to get in touch.
The easiest, fastest, most efficient way is simply to pick up the phone and call me. That's area code 813-541-3994. It's my personal cell phone. This is for your viewers, your listeners. Pick up the phone and call me. Send me a text. I just learned how to use the texting function last week, so I can do that now. And I can even put a little emoji in there, too, if that pleases you. You can reach out on LinkedIn. Joe Ponds, JOEPONDS. You can check out our website at Ponds Consulting. But, you know, don't go too far out of your way. You know, you call me. Yeah. And then understand that it's not about selling you, it's about helping. If we can work together, great. If not, we'll part as friends and we won't waste each other's time.
Joe, thank you again so much for coming on the show. Guys, if you would like to engage with him, I went ahead and left his contact information in the show notes below, a link to his LinkedIn, but also his phone number as he gave there at the end. If you'd like to connect with him, feel free to reach out. And if you'd like to connect with me, again, you can find me on Instagram at BusinessRPG. I actually have a link to my LinkedIn in the show notes below as well. So if you'd like to connect, if you'd like to talk about turning your passion into a profession, if you'd like to talk about anything podcasting or nerdy related, I'd love to engage with you guys. Next episode will be coming up in 2 weeks on Wednesday. And until then, guys, I hope you enjoy.